To take a look at the situation, I am joined by veteran journalist, Zimbabwean journalist, Peter Thornycroft. Peter, good evening. Thank you so very much for your time. Describe to us what the economic crisis in Zimbabwe looks like for ordinary Zimbabweans.
It's catastrophic, Karima. It's about 150% increase in the price of fuel. And obviously that would infect all the combi operators, the taxis, who had already increased their fares by about five times in the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
Five times higher. So with this, I mean, how will people get to work?
Mm.
How will they get to work? They just will not be able to afford it. So you've also had a 20% increase in the general cost of living at the supermarket, etc., since last October, when this latest currency crisis emerged. What has actually happened is that for South Africans who perhaps don't understand the currency conundrum that there is,
yes,
officially everything is in US dollars.
Yes.
But of course, it's not really. There is the currency, there's a bond note, there's a small amount of currency called bond notes, which are printed locally in Zimbabwe in small denominations. Then there's the money you can use on your mobile phone, which you deposit, called EcoCash.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you've got a bank account, you have a debit card, and you call that swipe. And then for the big amounts, it's called RTGS. So there are these various different currencies, which the government insists each one of those is one-to-one with the U.S. dollar. Well, that's not true, because the rate yesterday and parts of today was about 3.2 of these other currencies to one U.S. dollar. So last week we believed that the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, which has extraordinary powers in Zimbabwe, unique powers for any central bank, had formed a subcommittee to deal with how they would deal with the terrible shortage of foreign currency.
Mm.
So they were going to deal with essentials. They're going to buy essentials using the foreign currency that way, and then they're going to start floating the U.S. dollar against these other currencies. What they were trying to do is to avoid canceling $11.2 billion of cash in Zimbabwe's bank accounts, as they'd done in 10 years ago. They did that 10 years ago. They're trying not to do the same thing. And then suddenly, that's what we thought was going to happen. So the Reserve Bank will deal with the essential imports, and then they'll let the rest of the currency float. About 65% of the currency would float. And then suddenly, on Saturday night, Emmerson Mnangagwa makes this announcement of this fuel price hike, which is unbelievable. And
yes,
so we don't know what changed his mind. I've spoken to one of the economists who works with the Zimbabwe government. He didn't know this was coming either.
Now, there was initially...
I don't know why it happened.
Peter, this is what I was going to ask you. I mean, the last time I spoke with you, you said to me that despite the fact that Emmerson Mnangagwa was, in fact, the henchman of Robert Mugabe, there was a sense from the business community that he knows what he's doing. You were referring to the fact that he's running a farm and that it's doing well. And there was a sense that he had an economic plan for the country. But he's just taken a plane full of people and gone to Russia. One wonders where the fuel came from, given the fact that there is such a levy. I mean, I know a teacher who's a friend of mine who parks his car at home because there isn't fuel or he can't afford it. He walks to school every day and he's wondering whether he's going to get paid. What is Emmerson Mnangagwa doing in Russia? What do you think he's trying to get there? Why are they not, for example, going to the Chinese, for example?
Well, actually, the Chinese don't give them money. They do business with them, and they do deals with them, which Zimbabwe has to pay for. But this was a long planned trip. This was planned some time ago, and to end in Davos at the World Economic Forum. But let's just go back to the fuel.
Yeah,
Zimbabwe's fuel obviously is all imported, and if you do the sums, you'll find that Zimbabwe spends more than a quarter of its revenue from exports on fuel.
Mm.
And on the black market that we were talking about earlier, the fuel in Zimbabwe was the cheapest in the region by far, if
yes,
you measure it up against US dollars. So why has Zimbabwe almost doubled its fuel use in the fuel purchases in the last year or two? I mean, it's now doing 160 million litres of fuel a month. I mean, that's a vast amount of money. So the government is saying, well, you know, smugglers are exporting it to Malawi, or they're exporting it to Zambia, or they're, you know, tens of thousands of Zimbabweans have got these new Honda Autofits, okay, cars. Everyone's got a car now. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know why they're using so much fuel, but they clearly can't afford to purchase all that fuel. They just can't afford to do it. Why he's gone to Russia, there can only be one reason. He's gone to Russia and Belarus at the moment. He's looking for cash.
Yes.
Whatever he wanted to do with the economy, I mean, he is... People in the business sector say they get on very well with him, that the government is responsive, that they answer their phones, they're better informed, etc. But he needs the foreign currency now. There is none. There is no foreign currency. So you've got the oil manufacturers, Olivine Industries, a historic Zimbabwe company. It is closed down. You've got, you can't buy a cool drink in Harare. There are other companies which are definitely going to close, cease operating. There are no internal flights in Zimbabwe. None of the buses from South Africa going across the border.
It's incredible.
It's
incredible, Peter, that the situation that you are describing. We're hoping to stay with you throughout the week and monitor the situation. Thank you very much for that granular breakdown, particularly around the currency. I think it's something that many South Africans simply do not understand. Thank you so very much. That's Peter Thornycroft, veteran Zimbabwean journalist, describing to us the current financial and economic crisis in that country.